Great. So there's a handout which has got a pretty picture and a Bible verse, and then some fill in the gaps. That's just to keep you all interested as we go through. So we'll work through that together now. But as we do that, let's open in by asking for God's help in prayer. Father God, thank you that everything you say in your word, the Bible, is good and true, and help us to trust what you say. And we pray so much that this would make a concrete impact on our lives as your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me start by telling you a true story. It's about a couple of brothers. They were German, but living in a cave near Budapest. Now, the reason they were living in a cave is because life had not gone well and they'd become homeless. They were kind of eking out an existence by kind of selling scrap that they could find. And then about 5 years ago or so, someone who worked for one of the homeless charities near Budapest came to find this pair of brothers. And they told them that although they may not have realized it, they had a long-lost grandmother over in the States who had recently died and had left them an inheritance of £4 billion. Now, they may not have known a huge amount about it. In German law, then the inheritance goes straight to direct descendants, no question asked. And so these brothers, it went literally from rags to unbelievable wealth. Well, what an inheritance story. You can imagine that the newspapers picked up on this, headlines like "Penniless brothers inherit vast fortune." And what an inheritance story it was. But did you know, as you read the Bible, we read the story of what is really the most amazing inheritance story. It's an inheritance story that makes the change of fortunes of their brothers seem like just a minor adjustment in comparison. It's an inheritance story that makes that £4 billion seem like just a few pennies in comparison. The Bible's inheritance story is utterly amazing, completely true, something we are all invited to be part of. And the book of Joshua that we've been studying together, and if you're a guest here, then we've been kind of working through this book for a few weeks together as a church family. Well, this book gives us a picture of that ultimate inheritance. It's a kind of physical, geographical picture of a much bigger inheritance. And so as we look together today at this story of Joshua, we need also to kind of look beyond it to the story of the whole Bible, this amazing inheritance story. But as we begin in Joshua, let's just remind ourselves of the story so far. And actually, it begins a long time before Joshua was even thought of. It begins with Abraham. And God made the most amazing promise to Abraham. He took this wandering nomadic shepherd and he said, "To you, I will give a vast and wonderful land. And I will give you a vast and populous people to fill that land." Now, Abraham found that pretty hard to believe since he and his wife couldn't have kids. But amazingly, one way or another, it all comes about. The people end up as slaves in Egypt. Do you remember that bit of the story? And Pharaoh wouldn't let them go. Then Moses comes along. "Let my people go." And, of course, off they go through the Red Sea and onto the edge of the land. And that's where Joshua comes in. And Joshua is raised up by God to actually now go into this land which God had promised all those years ago to Abraham. And the story of Joshua, we have seen, is city after city falling as the people possess the land that God had promised them. And as we get to this bit of Joshua here, those battles have been fought. There are battles still to be fought in the future, but the vast majority of it has been done. And we're at the point where the land is now being allotted or given out to each of those tribes. And that land is always referred to as an inheritance. Just have a look back at chapter 18, verse 1. Sorry, 18, verse 20. This is the bit we read ourselves with Benjamin. It says, "These were the boundaries that marked out the inheritance of the clans of Benjamin, on all sides. And that word actually comes 43 times in the book of Joshua. But by the time we get to chapter 21, verse 43, it is a great climax, and if you like, summary of everything that God has done in this book of Joshua so far. So just have a look at these verses with me now and see how they kind of summarize everything so well for us. So, in conclusion, the Lord gave Israel all the land he had sworn to give their forefathers, and they took possession of it and settled there. The Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their forefathers. Not one of their enemies withstood them. The Lord handed all their enemies over to them. Not one of all the Lord's good promises to the house of Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled. Well, what a great climax and summary. And you can imagine the headlines for this one. Powerless nation, or powerless slaves, inherit entire nation. Or if you took it right back to the start of the story, wandering shepherd becomes father of vast nation. But as we said, this inheritance story of the people of Israel is just a small picture of an even bigger inheritance story that the Bible as a whole tells. And that's why I've printed these verses from 1 Peter on your handouts. Just have a look at that verse with me. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed at the last time. You see, this story of the 12 tribes going into a geographical inheritance actually is just a picture for us of a new Joshua. And Jesus and Joshua are actually the same name in the original. So a new Joshua, Jesus, arrives and he leads his people into this amazing and eternal inheritance. And as we look at these kind of climactic verses together, just a few verses, we'll see that the lessons that Israel learn about their small earthly geographical inheritance are the same lessons that Christian believers need to learn of our perfect, ultimate, and eternal inheritance. And there are three lessons that we're going to look at together. And the first is this. Your inheritance is good because God is glorious. Your inheritance is good because God is glorious. But what could you do with £4 billion? I don't know if you wrote a list. Did you know you could buy 20 Neymars? It's maybe not as many Neymars as you'd like. That's a footballer, by the way, if that totally lost you. But you know, an inheritance tells you an awful lot about the person giving the inheritance. So this grandmother over in the States, apart from anything, you know that she was incredibly wealthy. And as we look at the inheritance that the people of Israel walked into, it tells you an awful lot about the God who gave that inheritance to them. And you'll see in these verses a real focus on the Lord. Do you see verse 43? The Lord gave Israel all the land. Verse 44, the Lord gave them rest. The Lord handed over all their enemies to them. Now, the land was good because the Lord is glorious. And these chapters of Joshua really do paint a picture of the goodness of this land. It is a land that is plentiful. And so as you we've kind of gone through about six chapters in Joshua, just going through the allocation for each tribe, we think, oh, it's a little bit tedious to go through it all like that. But the point is, it is plentiful for every tribe. We might think it's a bit tedious, but if you happen to belong to the tribe of Issachar yourself, you don't want to be missed out, do you? This inheritance is plentiful. It is a land also of rest. Do you see the focus in verse 44? The Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their forefathers. Just imagine for these people that exhausting mistreatment as slaves. Think about the exhausting existence in the wilderness, the exhausting battles and conquest. And after all of that, now, finally, sweet rest. Amazing. This is also a land of justice. You see that actually in chapter 20. It's a quirky chapter that talks about cities of refuge, where people who had accidentally killed someone could go and get proper justice rather than just being subject to the kind of vengeance and wrath of people. And it's a small taster to say that this land is not going to be governed like the other nations, vengeance and wrath. Instead, it's going to be a land of justice, where the Lord's rule prevails. And this good land is also going to be a land, most wonderfully, where God would dwell with his people. And back in chapter 18, verse 1, we see that this little section starts here. And it says, the whole assembly of the Israelites gathered at Shiloh and set up the tent of meeting there, that would eventually become the temple where God's people could meet with him. And we read also of Levites trained to teach God's word, scattered throughout the land, so that people would always remember this is God's land and it's about knowing him. Well, on the edge of the land, Moses had said to the people, this land, let me tell you, it is unbelievably good. And now as they inherit the land, they realize, yes, it is a good inheritance. And it's good because it's a Lord, the glorious Lord, who has given it. And of course, if that's true of the picture, this kind of geographical picture, how much more is this true of the ultimate reality to which it points? And so do you see 1 Peter... again, those verses, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. You see, through Jesus, his death and resurrection, God has given all people a chance of new birth into a living hope. This is a hope, in other words, it goes through death itself into an amazing eternity. You see, when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, it was a real, physical, glorious resurrection. But the Bible says it was just a small taster of this entire new, physical, glorious creation that Jesus was bringing in. And anyone who trusts in him can be part of this amazing inheritance as well. As Peter says, an inheritance that will never perish, spoil, or fade. It'll be an inheritance marked out by plenty, room for everyone who will trust in Jesus. A place of perfect final rest. The suffering that we struggle with, the guilt that weighs us down, the sin that we just can't shake off, finally rest from it all. Be a place of perfect justice. There'll be no evil at all, no inequality, no injustice. And of course, rest and justice come about because of God's victory. That's the focus in these verses. The Lord gave them rest. Not one of their enemies withstood them. And God will finally bring judgment on all who continue to oppose him and his good plans. But ultimately, of course, this is a land where God himself will dwell with his people. They just had a tiny, tiny taste of it in this land of Israel. And yet when God's people through Jesus inherit their inheritance, well, we will know God personally face to face. It's the relationship we've been made for, that our souls hunger for, and we will know it perfectly then. You see, the inheritance that God has given us in Jesus is good. You know, sometimes we think heaven and hell, that's an easy choice. Okay, I'll go for heaven, please. But sometimes if the choice was heaven or just carrying on with this life now, well, you know, things in this life are pretty good for some of us. You know, maybe there's a bit of uncertainty. Heaven might be a bit boring, go on a bit long, a bit too much harp music. And we think, well, maybe I'll just take what I've got now. And if we think that, we have not understood how glorious God is and how good this inheritance is. It's going to be absolutely mind-blowingly beautiful and brilliant. But because we tend to think that, what we often do is we kind of live for the here and now, don't we? In the Bible's terms, that's the wilderness, the people of Israel going through the wilderness before inheriting the land. And life sometimes feels a bit like a wilderness. Well, it is. And the lesson is, don't live for the wilderness. Don't live for the here and now. Fix your mind on this perfect, brilliant inheritance. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou my inheritance, now and always. This is wonderful hope as well. I was watching a program last night with Lucy, my wife. It was a lovely program. It was about a retirement home, lots of elderly people, and they brought some four-year-olds in for 6 weeks to kind of see what that would do. It was a wonderful project that's going on there. But it was so sad to hear, as they interviewed old person after old person, they said, look, there's just no hope here. The next thing is death. We all know it. Well, here, if you are trusting in Jesus, there is hope. Not just a vague, wishy-washy kind of hope, but a perfect, concrete inheritance that God has lined up for you through Jesus. Well, that's the first thing we need to learn and remember. Our inheritance is good because God is glorious. Here's a second lesson. Your inheritance is a gift because God is gracious. Your inheritance is a gift because God is gracious. And you really can't miss it in these verses. Do you see that verb gave coming again and again? The Lord gave Israel all the land he'd sworn to give their forefathers. Verse 44, the Lord gave them rest. And then the Lord handed over all their enemies to them. All from God. He gives them the land. He gives them rest. He gives them victory. And anyone reading through the book of Joshua, you cannot fail to miss it. Do you remember the first big battle? Who remembers the first big battle in Joshua? Jericho. Okay, what did they do? They marched around the walls, and that is it. And the walls came down, and the people were vanquished, and they did nothing. Okay, it was a picture, a big symbol for them right at the start of the conquest. It is the Lord who is giving you this land. It is not down to your power or your goodness. It is not something you have deserved or earned. It is a gift. Because God is gracious. Now, Israel still had to fight to inherit the land, and you get that balance quite nicely put in verse 43. The Lord gave Israel all the land he had sworn to give them, and they took possession of it. Now, Israel still had to fight. This required bravery and self-control. Actually, it's the same in the Christian life. Our inheritance is a gift in Jesus, but we're still told to fight, to persevere, to put on the full armor of God and take our stands and work hard as God's people. But fundamentally, our inheritance is not something that we can earn or achieve. It's not a reward for obedience, but a genuinely free gift. You see, the more you get to know the God of the Bible, the more you realize he is a giver. Do you remember the most famous verse in the Bible? For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son. And here in 1 Peter as well. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth. What's the basis of it? His great mercy. It's not something we deserve. Spiritually speaking, we are like those Hungarian brothers. Okay, poor, penniless, nothing to offer. And yet, in God's mercy, he has given us everything in Christ. Okay, just as God gave people victory and rest through Joshua, he has done the same for us through Jesus. He's given us victory. We were helpless, powerless before darkness and sin, heading for hell. But then God gave us Jesus. And Jesus lived the perfect life we could never live. Jesus died the death I deserve for the sins that I have committed. Jesus rose and conquered death. Jesus now offers us this gift of new life. It's Jesus who stands in heaven and gives us his Spirit that we might know him now and have assurance of this future inheritance. Through Jesus, God has given us this inheritance, but he's also given us this perfect rest as well, the forgiveness we need, the righteous standing before God we need, the new life we need. These brothers, Zolst and Gazy, you know all they had to do to get this inheritance? All they had to do was prove that they were part of the family, produce some family records. Now, wonderfully, those who trust in Jesus are brought into God's family. That is all we have to do to enter this inheritance, show that we're part of the family. Okay, and that happens simply by trusting in Jesus. That's why baptism is such an amazing thing. We're saying we're longing for Finley to be part of the family so he can have hope of this inheritance. It's what we're praying for. Not that he would somehow be good enough himself. He can't do anything about it. It's a gift. Praying that he will inherit this himself as one day he comes to trust in Jesus. And some of us here, you know, we've never accepted the gift. We've always assumed that kind of God and this inheritance works on a bit like a kind of Australian points-based immigration. We've heard a lot about that, haven't we? And you think, well, as long as I can kind of contribute enough, then I'll get into the land. And that is absolute nonsense when it comes to heaven. Purely by trusting in Jesus. It is a gift because God is gracious. Others of us, we've accepted the gift, but we've been trying to pay God back ever since. You get this in hospitality, don't you? Someone invites you out for dinner and what do you say? Oh gosh, well, we must have them back. We must have them back, pay them back somehow. And we like to do the same with God, don't we? You know, he's given us all this. Well, how can I pay God back? You can't. It's a gift. And instead, God says, love me. Live for me. Appreciate all that I've done for you. Enjoy the gift that I've given you. That's the Christian life. Well, our inheritance is a gift because God is gracious. Finally, our inheritance is guaranteed because God is faithful. It's guaranteed because God is faithful. You can imagine, can't you, as God told this nomadic shepherd that he would inherit the land, how he laughed. Gosh, how could this ever happen? Sarah, his wife, literally laughed as she heard it. She was barren. She couldn't have kids. And yet, a promise of God cannot be broken. And so the children arrived and the family grew. You can imagine as they ended up as slaves in Egypt. And the most powerful king of the world, overseeing the biggest superpower of the day. And how they must have laughed at the thought of this tiny slave nation getting freedom and establishing themselves. And yet, a promise of God cannot be broken. And so, of course, it happened. As they were in the wilderness, looking at these powerful nations in the land that they were to inherit, the people trembled with fear, saying, how can we do it? But a promise of God cannot be broken. And so, of course, city after city fell before them. You see, God is totally faithful to his promises. And that's the big focus of these verses. Do you see verse 43 again? The Lord gave Israel all the land he had sworn to give their forefathers. The Lord gave them rest just as he had sworn. And then the big climax in verse 45, not one of all the Lord's good promises to the house of Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled. Sarah's infertility, no obstacle to God's promises. Superpower, no obstacle to God's promises. Impossible military campaign, no obstacle. And you see, the lesson is, look at God's amazing faithfulness and learn to trust him. You see this ultimately in Jesus. How they must have laughed as this Jewish carpenter peasant said, my death will secure the salvation of the world. And yet a promise of God cannot be broken. So he rose from the dead. And we see salvation now going out to the ends of the earth in his name because a promise of God cannot be broken. And perhaps we're thinking, well, yeah, this inheritance sounds really great, but you know, I don't think I've got much hope. Someone like me who struggles with sin and you know, I'm not much of a Christian. And yet, God says, if you trust in Jesus, this inheritance is yours. And a promise from God cannot be broken. Do you see, God is faithful, and that means our inheritance is guaranteed if we are trusting in Christ. And we must trust in him. Sometimes we feel pressure in life, don't we? People working in organizations, perhaps you're in charge of a team and you feel the pressure, it all lands on you. And at home, perhaps, for the kids, you think, oh, the pressure of bringing these kids up. And sometimes in our Christian walk, we can feel like this is pressure to keep going in the Christian life. And here we see actually God does it for us. He's the one who's faithful, not us. Yes, we need to be walking in his ways, trusting in his promises, but he is the faithful God
who will keep us.
Well, your inheritance, what a wonderful inheritance it is. It is good, it is a gift, it is guaranteed. You know, it took some time for Zolst and Geyser Pilardi to actually get the money in the bank. I guess there was a gap from when they first heard the news to when they kind of finally received their inheritance. But don't you think, as soon as they heard that news, it would have changed them? You know, I suppose they couldn't think about anything else. I suppose they could put up with a few more days of discomfort. I suppose they spread the good news. You know, £4 billion is peanuts compared to this inheritance that through Jesus, God's people are offered. This inheritance that Joshua is just a small picture of. Can I ask, honestly, if you are trusting in Jesus, is it making an impact on your life now? Shouldn't it change everything? Make us joyful, sacrificial, wholehearted, confident, persevering? Are you living for the wilderness? Or have you got your head around this inheritance that is good beyond imagining, a gift beyond earning, guaranteed beyond any doubt? And as Peter says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Loving Father, thank you for this wonderful inheritance that you have promised your people through Jesus. Thank you for the way that we see your faithfulness in the people of Israel through Joshua, and you have given us that as a picture that we might trust you now with these bigger, more wonderful promises that you have given us in Jesus. For those of us who don't know much about these things, help us to get to know Jesus better, that we might inherit this promise ourselves. For those of us who are trusting Jesus, how we pray that this would shape us and change us as your people day after day. And we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.